Blog Talk Radio.
It's taken several generations for America to resolve some of its complex and interconnected racial scars of the past. And even though our twice-elected black president is set to leave the White House next week, a new set of challenges remain. What will the racial climate look like with our new president? And what will it take to finally acknowledge that there's still much work to be done in the days ahead? Joining us today is Dr. Gail Christopher, visionary founder of the National Day of Racial Healing, sponsored by the Kellogg Foundation. She will detail the origins of the day and how it will kick off on January 17th, 2017. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. It's hard to believe we are approaching the middle of January in this new year, and so much is happening. Well, one thing I'd like for you to do as we approach the Martin Luther King weekend, it would have been Dr. King's 87th birthday on January 15th, and we actually celebrate his birthday on January 16th of this year. And I'd love for you to go and check out a remarkable new movie if you have not already. The movie is called Hidden Figures, and we had a big snowstorm here in the greater Boston area last weekend. I was already out at a training workshop on LinkedIn and said, well, I'm out. It's going to take me a couple hours to get home anyway. Let me swing by the movies and check out this movie. And I'm so glad that I did. It is a remarkable, true account of the women. They were actually called colored computers, and they were housed at Langley Base in Hampton, Virginia area back in the 40s, starting in the mid-40s, throughout the 50s and into the 60s. And so three of those women who were literally mathematical whiz kids, geniuses, if you can call them, are featured in the movie, and their work, one of them in particular, actually was responsible for the success of Alan Shepard and John Glenn going up into space several times. It's remarkable. It's dignified. I am actually third-generation college graduate, so it reminds me of my own mother's. And it will be the kind of movie that any American can identify with and celebrate in terms of the achievements of these great women. One of them is still alive. Katherine Johnson is still alive, and she's been giving some interviews lately. The other women, Mary Jackson and Dorothy Vaughan, were members of my church, the AME Church, and all three women were AKAs. I give it to them, even though I'm a Delta. They were just really tough, tough sisters and served our country well. So go to your local theater. It's playing in theaters all over the country. Hidden Figures. It has been in the top 10 in terms of box office sales, number 2 last weekend, and I'm sure it is going to be a remarkable success going forward. I did see Fences. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It's a very different kind of movie. You really can't compare the two because the perspectives are completely different. So those are two good movies, but I would definitely encourage you to go see Hidden Figures sometime over the next couple of days and certainly this coming weekend. Well, there's lots going on. Next week, I'm going to be preparing to go to Washington, D.C. I will be participating in the National Women's March in Washington. There will be satellite marches in various cities around the country, including Boston. Reverend Mariama White Hammond is going to be the MC for the Boston March that will take place. Several women's organizations around the country, including AAUW and other organizations, are participating in this march. And it is to uphold and to bring attention, call attention to the issues facing women, particularly in the United States. It is no coincidence that the march is taking place one day after the inauguration of President Trump. So you can draw your own conclusions, and there probably will be over 200,000 women and men who will be at that march next Saturday, January 21st. There is also going to be another march in Washington, D.C. this coming Saturday. I believe that is the 14th. And that will be in commemoration of Dr. King, his dream, and Reverend Al Sharpton is one of the leaders assembling in Washington for that march. So lots going on. We're going to have a lot to talk about, and this subject is right on the point that we're speaking of when we look at the long road to racial healing. I want to bring on a visionary woman who I've just met. I know her counterpart. I know someone who is connected with putting this day of reconciliation together. So we want to find out more about it. And I'm also very happy that I've written an article that you can also find at my blog post. You can go to carolcopelandthomas.com. There's a link to the article that I've written in commemoration of National Day of Racial Healing. You can also go to their website and find out more about it at the blog section for today, January 12, 2017, at carolcopelandthomas.com. Just go to the blog section. You can hear a replay of this show and go and have all the links that will be connected at that site. But I want to bring on the visionary leader. She is the senior advisor for WKKF, which stands for the W.K. Kellogg Foundation. I want to find out why this is necessary, how it came about, and how people can get involved. Dr. Gail Christopher is our guest today. Welcome to Focus on Empowerment, Dr. Christopher.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Carol.
Glad to have you on the show. So tell us why this day matters and how you and your team, clearly there are many people involved with this, were responsible for identifying the importance of a day of racial healing. Dr. Christopher.
I'm happy to do that. You know, it's part of a long-term effort, a truth and reconciliation effort for this country at a national scale. And that effort is called Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation. And we've been engaging in the design of that with over 140 organizational partners whose combined reach is upwards of 290 million people. So we have a bigger vision for a Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation enterprise, which is being implemented. And this day of racial healing is a call to action from that group of partners working on the broader TRHT effort. It's an effort to mobilize communities, organizations, and individuals across the United States in support of the Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation effort. As President Obama said so eloquently in his speech, his farewell speech, this is work. This is work that we have to roll up our sleeves and do one-on-one, in communities, in organizations, in churches, in businesses. We have to make the commitment to jettison this false notion of a hierarchy of human value. That's another way of saying race, and many other of the other isms that allow us to otherize human beings and somehow make them less than we are, or that stands in the way of our connection to other human beings. And we haven't done that work yet. We haven't, you know, we can't legislate it alone. We can't litigate it alone. Ultimately, we have to change the consciousness of people, the hearts and the minds and the relationships that we establish. It's not an either or, it's a both and. So I'll stop there, but that's really the genesis of this call to action.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I've heard several conversations from political pundits, and people are analyzing the election in November and just wondering what's going to happen with the rank and file who overwhelmingly voted for President Obama. I know that your effort is not political, but you know, obviously the politics of today factor in. But clearly, when I think about President Obama's speech, like you, I heard citizen again. I heard him use the word citizen. I think about the work that he has done, and he said, you know, if you feel strongly enough, you can pick up a clipboard and you can get signatures and run for office yourself. So clearly there is a need for mobilization, for people to mobilize against all kinds of issues, and race is certainly at the center of the dynamics that we face in this country. Tell me about the Kellogg Foundation. For those of you who may not know, we are talking about Kellogg's The Cereal, which, correct me if I'm wrong, but that has led to a very large and very successful foundation that has underwritten many initiatives around the country. How connected are the grants and the various projects that you have been involved in connected to this new endeavor, Dr. Christopher?
Okay, well, that's a perfect question. And I need to clarify that the foundation is really independent from
yes.
the company. We
right.
are not like many corporate foundations where we are essentially an arm of the company. When Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Kellogg, who was the cereal leader for sure, when he left his fortune to create a foundation, it really was a separate entity whose mission mm-hmm. is the well-being of children. And so
right.
the foundation
mm-hmm.
itself is over 80 years old, and we don't get to dictate anything to the company, and they don't dictate anything to us. So it's kind of, there is a fiscal relationship, but not in the traditional way you think of corporate foundations. So that said,
mm-hmm.
with our mission focused on vulnerable children, our board of directors looked at the demographics about 10, 11 years ago and realized that most of the children born in this country are children of color. And
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, the lion's share of those children are growing up in either low income or impoverished conditions. So they did the clear sort of pulling the thread to realize that this issue, this legacy of racism that creates structural barriers for our nation's children and families, that as a foundation, we couldn't realize the founder's vision of helping children thrive if we didn't deal directly with the issues of racism. And so that gave rise to, it was about that time that I joined the foundation. I've been working on issues of racial equity and racial healing my entire career. And so when our board of directors made a decision to become the most effective anti-racist organization they could be, and they invited me to become part of, you know, of the foundation as a vice president. I had to say yes. At the time, we were the fifth largest foundation in the world, and for an entity of that scale to commit to addressing racism, it was a dream come true on so many levels.
Mm.
And so we built up a program which we then called America Healing, and over the decade, we funded to the tune of upwards of $200 million to community-based organizations, to civil rights organizations, to educators, to school systems, or programs that support reform of school systems, improving birth outcomes, addressing health disparities, but all focused on bringing about racial equity and racial healing. And after the tragic visibility, the tragic events and the visibility of all those events in the last couple of years, we really felt it was time for a truth and reconciliation effort for this country. And so the America Healing work has now, you know, the next iteration of that is the truth, racial healing and transformation.
That's great history. Thank you for clarifying about the separation of the foundation and the historic success of a giant cereal company that I believe is still based in Battle Creek, Michigan, I believe.
Yes.
I'm from it, so I know those origins. But when I look at why January 17th, why was that day selected? And clearly, I mean, next week is going to be historic when you look
yeah.
at all the activities that will take place. So, Dr. Christopher, why was the 17th the day of choice?
Well, and we are, as most of us are, acutely aware of the heightened temperature of divisiveness and destructive rhetoric, We're also aware that that has given rise to actual documented increases in hate crime and bullying around the country, that this the extreme rhetoric that characterized this presidential campaign season has had an impact, and the most scary impact really is its effect on children. Children being afraid within their schools and within their classrooms. So there's an urgency now to do something to offer hope and offer a different focus, a different energy for the country. We have tremendous respect for Dr. King, of course, and his vision of a beloved community and his dream for children. But and so we felt to sandwich this day in after the Dr. King celebration, but before the inauguration of the next administration, seemed appropriate to do this now, to give our country and to mobilize a positive focus. I grew up in the Baptist church, and one of the songs I remember was "The Balm in Gilead."
And oh, yes.
We need a balm. We need a healing focus. If we continue to be focused on this drumbeat of negativity and extremism and divisiveness, it actually has consequences for us physically and physiologically. So we felt there's an urgency to offer something of an antidote to this now. We respect all the efforts that have gone on by others. You know, there's the annual Juneteenth celebration and the reconciliation around that. And we don't, you know, and we don't want to draw anything away from the Martin Luther King celebration on the 16th. We want people to be fully engaged. And, you know, that has translated into a day of service in the country. And that's a good thing, you know. So we hope that this year and in years to come, there will be this connection between the dream of Dr. King and the celebration of his genius and sacrifice and courage with a commitment to healing and creating the beloved community on the 17th of January.
At the website, I've been to the website. It has a lot of very good information that will be useful for the day. Will you have any kind of downloadable guide that can be used to help groups or individuals to sort of figure out how they can make the 17th a meaningful day? And I say that because there's an organization, just a collection of ex-congressional staff members who have put together a fabulous guide called the inclusionguide.org. I think it's .org or .com. It's a downloadable guide, and it literally walks you through ways where organizing can take place on the local level, doing very much of what you are talking about. Has your organization created a similar kind of guide, or are there documents and resources at the website that can help navigate this process?
Absolutely, and thank you for the question, and also for this this inclusionguide.org. We're going to make
fabulous.
Sure we link to that as well. But we have, as I said, the Day of Healing is really part of a call to action for the broader ongoing effort of truth, racial healing, and transformation. And we have a comprehensive implementation guide, which is directed to communities, to organizations, and to individuals to get involved in truth, racial healing, and transformation. We also have examples of things that communities can do to commemorate the day itself, and there's clear guidance for that. And they can go to the www Day of Racial Healing website and absolutely tune in to both the recommendations, and they can download the implementation guide itself for the broader initiative. So, yes, and we continue to expand that just about every day.
Great. Very good. Again, you can go to my blog, and it'll click through to the websites to give you all the information so that you can download the guide and have the information that's going to be important to move this discussion forward. Was there any link at all or any thought about, when I saw the Day of Healing, I'm thinking about Truth and Reconciliation in South Africa, led by Desmond Tutu and his group. Was that in the back of your mind with creating this kind of initiative, Dr. Christopher?
Absolutely. The first broad truth and reconciliation effort in our hemisphere was released roughly a year ago from Canada, where they had a truth and reconciliation process that looked at the harm that was done to the children of Canada. And it actually was spawned by litigation there and the role of the church in the boarding school fiascos and the stripping away of the culture and the taking of children from their families. And so here you had a country doing truth and reconciliation on a historic wrong. And so it occurred to us that, you know, it is possible to do a national truth and reconciliation effort over a historic wrong, not as immediate and immediate past as South Africa was. So that was part of what, you know, gave us the courage, empowered us, actually, to say, let's try this. We started out by doing a scan of all the truth and reconciliation efforts that have happened around the world, and there are over 40 of them. Last count, it was 45, counting ours. And we looked for lessons that we could learn from them. We looked for, you know, what might be applied, because so often they're done right after a major conflict. In our case, we had to look back at history, and we also had to look at the multiple perspectives in our country. You know, we're the one of the, we're the most diverse nation probably in the world, and so so it meant designing and adapting something unique for us that would enable us to focus in on the nuances of who we are as a country and how we came to be who we are. And we love the term inclusion. We think it's an important historic concept. We've been schooled a little bit by some of our participants. So we now say expansion as well as inclusion, because we don't want it to sound like we own it and we're letting you in. You know, we wanted to we want to say our approach is expansive and it reflects multiple voices. It's not a dichotomy. It's not us versus them. It's really a Native American, African American, Latino, you know, Hispanic, Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Arab American, white, Appalachia. It is this genuine attempt to realize the dream of the beloved community, where we focus on the humanity of all people, but we have to acknowledge the truth that our country was not built on that premise. Our country was built on a false ideology of a hierarchy of human value, that some people were worth more than others. It's in our Constitution. It's in our laws. It's in our structures. Yeah. It's in our economy. It's in our narrative about who we are. And so the real work, you'll notice we don't say reconciliation. We say healing and transformation. Healing. And that's deliberate because we want people to acknowledge the harm of this belief system and also to realize the real work that will be involved in transforming our systems and our nation to realize its potential as a democracy. So it's informed by the truth and reconciliation efforts and certainly by the most famous one, which is South Africa. But we've had over 150 people working hard over the last 8 months who represent the many, many partner organizations. They've been involved in a design process for the last 8 months, and their recommendations are available on the website. We have a unique framework for this work, which has five key components. And one is the narrative that must change about who we are and how we came to be who we are. The other is this racial healing and trust building and relationship building. And then the last three aspects of the framework focus in on separation, which is the main way we sustain our stereotypical perceptions because we don't interact with the perceived other, you know, in a positive way. Our legal system, which was designed in so many instances to be an arm of the enforcement of the hierarchy, and then finally our economy, which is designed to perpetuate the hierarchy. So we have a lot of work to do, but it's been so gratifying to see the numbers of people that are stepping up to be engaged in the work.
Well, it's very comprehensive, and I want to give our listeners, before we end the show, the website again, and that is the www.dayofracialhealing.com. That's dayofracialhealing.com. And you will find the information about this wonderful initiative and so important initiative and where our country should be headed next at that website. Certainly appreciate talking with Dr. Gail Christopher today. You can read my article that is a companion to what's taking place. Again, going to my website, because this is a, they have a Facebook page, and my article is on their Facebook page, but you can go to carolcopelandthomas.com in today's blog, January 12th, and actually read that article and see how you can get involved. Most importantly, how you, the citizen of this country or a citizen of another country, and how you can apply this to your particular country, and how this can somehow just get neutralized and resolved in the days to come. I like the fact that your language talks about racial healing. The problem I have with the word inclusion is that you can often masquerade and almost put things in a denial perspective,
yes,
by not acknowledging historically what has happened in this country. And so, you know, my article really talks about history. You can't deny it. It's the elephant in the room. And you have brilliantly talked about the hierarchy of human values. I'm going to quote you on that one. That's a great terminology. It really is. Real quickly, last question, Dr. Christopher. Any plans on taking this initiative formally to the Trump administration and getting them actively involved?
You know, we started this work during the Obama administration, and it became clear to us that we really had to have a groundswell from the people. Our vision is that there will be truth and reconciliation efforts in every zip code in this country. The level of partners we have from all sectors, you know, make that a very real possibility. And so in the future, it could be something that both the executive branch of government as well as the legislative branch might embrace. But we are not seeking endorsement or anything formal between now and Monday or Tuesday, you know. We want there to be a groundswell of engagement from the people, and we hope that that would generate the buy-in and the alignment and support of leadership.
Well, you will definitely be interested in indivisibleguide.com. I looked it up. That is the website where you can download that particular 25-page practical guide that's been created. And like you, their efforts are completely grassroots-based. They crashed one of their websites. They had to move to another website because the demand was so great. And I'm sure that your demand is also going to be very great for you, for the reasons of racial healing, which you have stated so eloquently.
Well, thank you so much for your leadership in reaching out and allowing us to tell this story, and for your work as a broadcast person for so many years. You know, communication is the key to this work. That's what frames the narrative for our country. So
that's
I just want to applaud your work. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I'm also a 30-year diversity trainer, so that's my main bread and butter. So this means this is very near and dear work to me, very much so. Dr. Gail Christopher, thank you very much for being a guest on my program for this work. I'm going to be visiting the website quite often and pushing the website to my network, and we'll be able to move in some of this terminology and important work with the diversity and multicultural initiatives and training endeavors that I'm involved in. But thank you very much for being a guest on my program today.
It's been a pleasure, and Happy New Year to you. Take care.
Happy New Year. All right. Dr. Gail Christopher, she is the senior director at the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, and they have put together this amazing National Day of Racial Healing. We hope that you will participate in your own way. Go out and make it a great weekend. Think about Dr. King and the significance of his life, and definitely think about all the good things that have happened under the administration of President Barack Obama. And
ways that we can make our future bright and promising in the days ahead, because you are empowered to be a person of action, a citizen of action. Thanks so much for listening to today's show. We'll be back next week. Take care.